Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
I believe God is doing some new things inside of the women here at the Rock Church. How are you guys today? You come ready to receive? Last week we got into identity theft, part one, and I'm gonna just jump in because part two was just as intense as part one for me. And so what we're getting into is, you know, Pastor Michelle's probably laughing at me because yesterday as I'm studying, I've been studying all week, and it seems like every time I study, I want a theologian around. So I'm calling my mom, I'm calling my dad, I'm calling everybody, and nobody's there. They're never home, right? Like nobody's answering the phone. So yesterday I wanted to talk to Pastor Dan, you know, because he's Mr. Theologian himself. If you don't know that about Dan, he knows it all. And so I wanted to call him, but he was getting ready for his message on kindness last night. And so I didn't want to interrupt his thought pattern, but I was like, oh my gosh. So I came down the hall where Pastor Michelle works and I'm like, let's talk theological things. She's like, okay. And I could tell I totally got her off of work mode. And so then her husband comes down the hall, and then Pastor Joey's like kind of could hear the theological stuff going on, came down the hall. We started going, guys. And let me just say to you, this word is so full of incredible truths and revelations. And when you start talking about these things and when you start gleaning from each other, it becomes this beautiful picture of what God is creating. And so I just want you to know, God is alive. He is well. His word is real. It is not an old book, but it is new. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can bank on it. It's consistent. It's the truth of everything. He is the only God. He is the one true God. And I'll tell you something, it's like proven over and over and over and over again in this book. So girls, get your pens and papers out today because we are going to do something called an expository message. Does anybody know what that is? Listen, I'm not trying to be up here trying to act like I'm all smart, okay? I just went to Bible college and there were different types of messages. An expository message is a message that you go through a scripture and you pull points out from the scriptures that you're reading from. A topical message would be something like probably what Pastor Dan did last night with kindness. It's a topical message. We are going to be doing some topical messages here on the identity series. We are going to talk about insecurity. We're going to talk about rejection. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff in between that, okay? But first, we're laying down the foundations of understanding who we are in Christ and what that means, what that looks like, why are we here, who are we, what is our purpose. That is what we're laying the foundation from. So if you did not get last week's message, we're picking up part two today. Go back. It's free, okay? It's online. It's free under rock.church. You can go to the women's ministry, or you can go to womenrock.us, right? Us? What are, is it still that? Okay. She's like my information lady. Okay, so last week we began in the first part of Genesis, and we talked about who we are in Christ, that we mirror Christ, that we look like him. Do you remember? We're like a cookie cutter, that we are actually patterned out like him to resemble his likeness. Pretty amazing. You never thought that you were that special, did you? But you are just like God. He wanted you. I don't care who told you that you weren't important, that you had no value, that you had no worth, because the enemy does like to come and tell us what we aren't. But God has come and died to tell us who we are and to show us a reflection of what he created us to be. And so that is what all of this is about, is us coming back to who we truly were created to be. So in this time, here's Adam and Eve, and they're in the garden, right? But Adam is hanging out with God. I loved this. When I was reading, I was talking to God about, like, what was that like? And, you know, were you hanging out with Adam? Like, did you guys just talk about, like, things? Like, oh, isn't that a pretty flower? Oh, what that animal should it sound like? You know, like, I mean, think about what that was like. Him and God walked in the garden. God made the earth, but God created the Garden of Eden, and that's where Adam dwelled. And God took dust from the ground and created Adam, because he wanted man in his own image and in the likeness of him, which was mind-boggling. So then God and Adam are hanging out in the garden. They start creating, God creates animals, and he says to Adam, you name them. I think that's pretty cool. Like, what would you name animals? Do you ever wonder, why does that animal have that name? You know, but God gave that ability to Adam. And he gave Adam oxen and cows and all those things to help aid him. But then God realized, this is not comparable to Adam. These animals are not, they're not comparable. God had the Trinity, right? He has himself. He has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are in unison. They are one, and they flow into each other in perfect unity. There's not one contending for another one's position. They're not jockeying for the other one's job, all right? They're all in one, but they work together in a beautiful form. So God needed Adam to have something comparable to that. And he said, the animals are not comparable to you as a human. I am going to put you to sleep, and we are going to make woman. Okay, so that's where we're going to pick up. But before we go there, now remember, God's about to create woman, which I think is pretty amazing. Talk about International Women's Day. That should be the International Women's Day, right? And that was yesterday, if you wondered. Dan's all, happy International Women's Day. I'm like, thanks. Like, every day's my day because I'm a mom and I'm awesome. Okay, so John 10:10, the thief comes not to except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he comes for. There's no other purpose that the enemy has against you. He's gonna sweet talk you and then stab you in the back while he's doing it. Have you ever met people like that? Okay, I have come that they may have life and that they will have it more abundantly. So God gives the flip the script on that one, right? So here's what the enemy's purpose is, but my purpose is to bring life. So the out of death always comes forth life. You see this in the scripture. You see this when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. Sometimes you wonder, death can be so devastating. Remember, on the other side of it is life. Do not allow your heart to get weary in it, because there's always life that flows out from death, because it is actually opposite, okay? So here we go, lessons from Eve. Eve is about to be created. One lesson that you can write down about Eve is that God created her, and that we need to be confident in what God created, in our identity in him. Be confident in our identity in him, and I'm gonna show you why you can be confident in your identity in you. The world has been telling us, I've heard it time and time again, it's not cool. It's not cool to be a mom anymore. It's not cool to be in a relationship and be married. Let's just not get married. We've had bad past relationships. Don't want to go there. I don't know how to do it right. I get why the world says these things. I understand where it comes from. It comes from a point of pain. It comes from a point of rejection. It comes from a point of not seeing something good come out of a situation, a positive situation. Many of you are sitting in this room going, I don't even sometimes wish I was not a woman, because I feel like men get the upper hand. Some of you don't even like your race or what it is that you do. Listen to me. You were created by God how you are, because you are wanted. You're special. I cannot be black. I cannot be Mexican. I am a white girl Italian, okay? I can't get rid of that. But you know what I can do? I can embrace the people around me and love and celebrate what's around me, right? That's what God wants us to do. That's a confidence. That's me knowing who I am, but celebrating the others around me. That's who God is. God understood who he was, but he knew Adam needed more, and Adam needed to celebrate life with someone. Adam needed to have a conversation with someone who understood him. And we need each other, girls. I don't care what walk of life you're in. I don't care if you come from the poor neighborhood and you're friends with the rich girl. I don't care if you are in poverty or not. I don't care what your race or your gender is. Listen, God created us as his body, as his human race, and the enemy is trying to divide us, to separate us, because we won't understand what our identity is. But when we understand who we are in him, all the other things begin to line up. We can celebrate who we are, and then we can also celebrate what God created us to be, and that is woman. And we can be confident in who we are as a woman. You've been pushed down. You've had a man till you're not good enough. You're just this. You fail at this. You're a mom. You're not a good enough mom. You failed with your kids. You're not a good enough wife. You failed with your husband. Listen to me. You can listen to the lies of the enemy, or you can shut them up. You can begin to change and walk in a direction that God is asking us to walk in. Because if God created us to be woman and be confident in it, he's going to teach us how to do that, and he's going to equip us to be able to carry that out. Okay, so here we go in Genesis. I'm going to skip around real quick. Genesis 1:28 says, "Then God blessed them, and God said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Whoa, wait a second, that's a big verse. Because God says, "Be fruitful and multiply." Do you know that no one else can have babies but you? And if you're barren in this room, I believe God wants to heal your womb.
Right.
I believe God can do that. And if you cannot have children, listen, you can adopt. And babies need mamas.
That's right.
And you still have all of those characteristics inside of you that need to be used for the kingdom of God. Side note, okay? Because I don't want anyone to feel like, well, I'm excluded from this. Nobody's excluded from being woman. If you're in this room and you're woman, this is who you are. This is why you were created. And you say, well, that is so feminine. That is so sexist. It blows my mind. I'm going, well, then who else is going to do it? It's actually a job a man cannot handle, nor do they want. Have you ever seen the video of the man giving birth, like what it would look like a man in labor pains? I literally watch the video and I'm like, he still has no idea either. Like, no matter how much they're giving him pain, he literally still has no idea. You know, God knew what we could handle. He knew what we could carry. He knew what we're capable of. Listen, we multitask not because we have to, because we know we can and we can do it well. The other day I was doing something. I don't remember what it was. And Dan's like, why do you have to do that and that? Why don't you just do this? And I'm like, because I can. Because I can do both at the same time. Why would I not do one if I can't do the other? I'm just going to do it at the same time. He's like, whatever, all right. Like, you know what? I've got this. You know, I can do this. I'm a very busy woman. And it's funny because this past few weeks, my life has been over upside down. And I'm feeling woman. I'm feeling woman, okay? I am feeling like I still want to look pretty, even though I have kids. So I'm gonna somehow do workouts when I'm in the kitchen. So while I'm cooking dinner, I'm doing push-ups and I'm doing like my whole high kicks, and my kids probably think I'm crazy, right? But I don't care, because summer is coming and I will wear a pair of shorts. And you know, I'm feeling woman. My schedule is crazy. Go ahead, bring in more kids. Let's do this. Come on, it's fine. I can take one more run somewhere else. I can drive somewhere else, that's fine. You know what? You know why? Because I believe God gives us a capacity, that when he gives us an assignment, that he says, if you can bear them, you can handle them. If you can bear them, I'm not going to give you more than you can handle. That means when the hard times hit, you just push deeper, girlfriend, because I got your back, and I'm going to give you the courage and the strength to do it. So multiply the earth. And then I love how he says, and I give them dominion over all the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing on earth. Hello, she's in charge, ladies. Hello? She's got this. Who forgets to feed the animals, and who has to end up feeding them? Mom, right? How many times? If you get this dog, you're going to take care of it. My son Titus said the other day, Mom, you make me clean the poop up outside. And I'm like, no, I don't. I actually do that. And he's like, well, I've done it once. And I'm like, yeah, you got a new job, buddy. Like, I did not realize. You just told on yourself, you know? So mom always makes sure, right? The kids go to bed, you go back down, you make sure it's all put back together so in the morning you don't go crazy, right? You know what's gonna push you over the top, right? Okay, so we're women. We can handle it. We can take care of the earth, God. We got this, right? We got this, God. But then Adam needed to help me. Okay, so now I am to give children, give birth, take care of the earth, and oh wait, I gotta help the man. Because see, the man didn't get it all done without my help. He needed me. He needed someone to commune with, someone to relate with, someone to connect with. He needed a helpmate, someone to bounce some ideas off of, someone to enjoy the pleasures of the garden with. All right? So you are a helpmate to, if you're married to your spouse, hello, you're going, I don't really want to help him. I don't like him right now. Well, you know what? Then you're wrong, because you're a helpmate. Genesis 2:21. This is where we're going to start out, okay? Turn with me to Genesis 2:21. So that was just a little bit of where we were coming from, what God has assigned us as women. Are you guys still with me?
Yes.
Kind of neat to see that God cares a lot about us, huh? That he thought of woman a lot. Now, this is something I want to throw at you. Here's Adam hanging out with God. How long did Adam hang out with God in the garden before Eve came? Listen, in Genesis, we do not understand the time limits of what happened. Yes, 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. But then what was the time limit of Satan and Adam and Eve? You can get into all these things because believe me, we did just for fun the other day. But stick to the point. The point is that Adam and God had quite a relationship. And then God still says to Adam, even though Adam had God, you need a helpmate. What? That's pretty amazing that you're that special. Wow. That God would still give him. Isn't God more than enough for us? Right. But wait, he's more than enough for us. But men need us. And I believe the Holy Spirit is kind of the woman side to God. And God needs the Holy Spirit, right? That side to him. So see, it all works together. We flow in and out of each other in unity, in connection and in beauty, and all of it has a purpose, and all of it speaks God. All of it. Check this out. In creation, right? Genesis 1, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. The word there created is Elohim for God, right? That is the word at that time in Hebrew that they used, Elohim. Do you know what Elohim means? Elohim means bara, means God. Not plural, but singular, God. The end of Elohim is I am, and it's I'm, which is plural. Interesting, right? One word has a plural, and one word has a singular meaning. How does that even work? It's a mystery. Because, see, God is a mystery. He's one in three. Pretty amazing, right? Everything speaks, guys. Everything speaks. And if we can understand the depths of who he is, like I read in Job earlier, we realize, whoa, this is way bigger than me. And I am just here, God, you do what you need with me, okay? Because I'm just gonna be who you need me to be. And quit wasting my time in the things of this world and quit wasting my time in the ways of sin, because I'll tell you something, the enemy is out to rob God. And you know how he robs him? You. Because you're his daughter. You were created in him. You were formed by him. Genesis 2:21, let's go there. Actually, I'm gonna go to Genesis 2:18. And then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now remember, comparable. Remember that, okay? Because when we get to the end, it's gonna change. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed the beasts of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was the name. Verse 20, so Adam gave the names of the cattle and the birds. He's moving on. Verse 21, and then God, the Lord God, caused the deep sleep to fall on Adam and he slept. Adam could not be awake for this whole situation. He was under surgery. He went under, all right? Because it's a big deal. We're a big deal. Okay, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made it into a woman and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. They were one. Marriage was created at that point. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Whoa, man. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, be joined to his wife. Right there, God created marriage. I don't care what the world defines it as, God created it. It was defined by God. He was the one that formed it. And they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and the wife, and they were not ashamed. I cannot imagine walking around not ashamed to be naked, right? This is telling me a lot of things right here. Number one, they were living in such an innocence. They were living in such the will of God. They were living in this bliss time with the Lord. No sin, can you imagine? No issues. Everything is wonderful. Now he's got a woman. Anything goes. They're married. Ain't no strings attached. I mean, there is just no issues. We don't even know what that's like, right? Verse 3, Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, I'm going to stop you there. So here it is, woman, confident. We're confident in who we are. God says in verse 24 that he created her wife and that they were both naked and they were not ashamed. You see, God set up marriage in Ephesians. The reason God set up marriage right there, this is another picture, women, that we are a part of, because remember, we are the bride of Christ and he is the bridegroom. Who understands about being a bride more than a woman, right? Men are never going to understand what it means to be a bride. So I believe we kind of have an upper hand on this part. And God is saying, marriage, one with each other, just as I want to be with you, my people. You see, right here in Ephesians, it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. Amazing. It all is right there in black and white for us, but yet our society and our world wants to redefine all of it. In two chapters, God commanded it, he created it, and he said, this is how it will be. And in three chapters, the enemy tries to rob it all from us and take it all from us. Are we that weak that he can come knocking at our door and we listen? Let's watch this. We're going to move on. So girls, we need to be confident in who God created you to be as a woman. But number two, we need to be aware of the deception that is constantly seeking us. Here's Eve. Now, my question to God when I was studying was, why didn't Satan himself go to the man? Let me explain this to you. God and Adam had a lot of time before Eve came. They were close. Eve was deceived. Adam was disobeyed. There's a difference. Could Adam have been swayed so easily? I don't know. These are just questions that I'm posing because this is where my brain went. So God, why woman? Why us? Here we go. Ready? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said to you that you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Now remember, God created Eden, and there was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They could eat from every tree except for that tree. That was the rule. God had one rule, eat from every tree, but not that one. They were fine with it until they were posed with a question about it. Were you fine with something until someone else came into your world and said, well, what about this? And it made you wonder, is God real? Made you wonder, well, maybe it's okay to sleep around then. Because that's like old school way of thinking. Maybe it's okay for me to give into my flesh and my selfish desires because that was the way things were done back then and not now. You see, the deceiver comes in and he poses things with a question to make you question the Almighty, the one we talked about in Job earlier, the one who created everything, who created you and formed you, and your true identity lies in. So when the deceiver comes and poses a question, what's our response? Ask yourself that question. What would your response be? And then it says in verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay, my question to you there is, lest you die. What does that mean? Does she think that she's going to die? Were Adam and Eve going to be living forever? Like, what was this like? We understand lest you die. To die is separation. To die is to be spiritually separated from God. God knew this. And have you ever in your walk as a mom or a grandma, say, don't go there. I don't want you to touch this. And you don't give a full explanation why. You just say, don't do it because you know it's not going to be good for the child, right? You say, don't go. If the stove is on, don't get too close to that stove. You're going to get hurt if you do, right? That's what God did. And so here's Satan. And he says, verse 5, for God knows that the day that you will eat it, that your eyes will be opened. Oh, in verse 4 it says, you will not surely die. Just like the enemy to go and make God look like a fool. So right there, he implies that Jesus, God himself, has lied to Eve. This whole time, she thinks he's amazing. He's my God. Everything I am is in him. But wait, he lied to me? Have you ever felt that way when someone comes to you about a relationship that you've been in, and then they pose a question and make you think, oh, they lied about that? All of a sudden, you start wondering, like, I don't know where I stand with this person. Is this relationship where it should be? You see what I'm saying? If he can bring doubt, if he can bring deception, if he can bring a lie, that's what the enemy was on his mission to do, okay? So then the serpent says, I'm just going to read it from here, and it says that in verse 5, for God knows that day that you will eat of it, that your eyes will be opened, and that you will be like God, knowing good and evil. She didn't know evil. She just knew not to eat of the tree, but she didn't know evil. So that probably was a lure. What is wrong with us? We want to know it all, don't we? We just have to have more, right? So that was a lure. I think it's interesting that Satan himself gets kicked out of heaven. It talks about this in Isaiah 41, I think. And he gets kicked out of heaven. Why? Satan gets kicked out of heaven because he wants to be like God. He wants to have the insight of God. He wants to be like God. He tempts Eve with the very same thing. When he tempted Jesus in the desert, hello, he's so brilliant, right? He tempts Jesus in the desert with the very same thing. I will give you all the lands. You can have anything you want. You can rule and reign. He's thinking, don't you know who I am? Get behind me, Satan. You see, Eve should have said that to him at this moment. Don't you know who I am? Girls, that needs to be our question when the enemy comes lying about who you are. Don't you know who I am? I am a daughter of the living God. I carry him within me. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am formed like him. I am shaped like him. I think like him. And you cannot have place. That should have been Eve's answer. Where would we be now? But we're going to love on her when we get to heaven. We will. So the serpent comes to rob us of our identity. And then it says, for you will surely not die. And in verse 6, she says, so when the woman saw, right there, her identity changed. Right there, it was stripped. Right there, the revelation of God was weakened. Her true identity had fallen from her heart, and she lost who she really was. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it wasn't it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and she ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made for themselves coverings. When we sin, when we fall out of our identity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, shame will come upon you. It should be your first red flag that you are not in the will of God. Because when you walk and you listen to the deception of the enemy, shame will come on you because the Holy Spirit says, no, what are you doing? That's not who you are, daughter. Why are you saying yes to having sex with this man when you're not married to him? Why are you engaging in a homosexual relationship when that's not what I'm asking of you? Why? Are you doing drugs and alcohol and killing yourself from the inside out? Why? These are not popular things in our society, but these are the things God cares about and he does talk about. And just because there are issues in our society doesn't mean he doesn't love us enough to help us change. He loves us so much that he came for those that are broken, those that find themselves in those relationships, those that find themselves in a position of sin where they cannot hear the voice of God any longer. If I'm stirring your heart right now, if I'm making you mad, stay in your seat. Because God is talking to you. And this is not a patty cake message. I'm so sorry. I want to be the one that got to preach kindness last night. But I have to be the one to deliver a word that says that there's a big God in heaven who created us, and all the things that our society and the enemy has created within humanity in a sin nature is not the heartbeat of what God wanted for us. You see, we have to take off our way of thinking and put on his way of thinking. We're going back to the beginning of creation. It was never intended. You do not see those lifestyles within creation, do you? No. Because as time went on, perversion and sin have overtaken man's heart, and they have justified their sin. Doesn't mean God can't redeem their sin. I believe God restores all things back. And I believe he's come for the broken and the lost. Okay? So let there be hope, because he is our hope. He is our strength. The word deception is the act of causing someone to accept true or valid of what is false. They validate false things. That's what deception is. They validate false information. Interesting, huh? It's also a trick, or being fooled, or a scam artist can come and deceive you. That is exactly what Satan himself did. Now, let me give you a little information about snakes, all right? Snakes are cold-blooded. That means, how many times do you see a snake and you're like, ah! Right? And you scream and you want to get out of their way. Some of you are like, I love snakes. I love them. Well, good on you, because in Jesus' name, I don't. And so they got venom. We're scared they're going to bite us. We know that it's going to hurt us, right? A snake is a cold-blooded animal. We are warm-blooded. Check this out. Cold-blooded animals can only go so far. Their endurance level is very short. You will always be able to outrun a snake because you are a warm-blooded person, human being. That means you can outrun the enemy. You can overtake him. His victory is only so much. He has none. He's already been defeated. So here's this snake, this piece of animal who Eve had dominion over, and she allowed him to come in and rule over her. What have you allowed to rule over your life when you are a daughter of the Most High God? When you were created woman to be by his side, to reflect him, to resemble him, and yet the enemy comes and whispers these things in our ears, and all of a sudden we go, oh, okay, okay. Oh, that sounds about right because I love so-and-so. Listen, it could be deception too. Love and approval are totally two different things. Sin, you cannot approve of sin. You can love the sinner, but don't approve of what they're doing. And God says, enough is enough. I did not create you this way, but yet Eve gave into it, so we are easily to be tricked. Listen, it is so funny. My mom said this to me the other day. She said, Jess, this is why parents tell people and their kids, do not talk to strangers. If I could have talked to Eve, don't talk to strangers, Eve. Don't let the devil talk to you. Don't let him come in and trick you and bring truths that aren't truths and falsify documents and falsify the word and falsify what you were created to be. Because the feminist movement says, oh, don't have women. What are we, just a piece of meat that we should have children? Oh, you want us to look good? Men call us hot? Oh, but then why do you dress sexy? You don't want them to call you hot, but then you want to dress sexy. I'm really confused about that one. Please, I know you know what you're doing. It's foolishness. And we get ourselves caught up in these things. And then we look foolish, girls. We don't look like wise, beautiful women that reflect our Father. We look like foolish women that don't understand who we really are. And we find our identity in things that are not true identity. God is saying, be aware of the deceiver. Be aware of the fall. Verse 3, we're going to go to Genesis 3, 21. Stay in Jesus, our true identity. Actually, I'm going to take you back, because after she fell, God began to give them new assignments after the fall. So the Lord said to the serpent after this happened, Because God is walking through the, I'll just paraphrase this. He's walking through the garden, Adam and Eve are hiding and they've sewn up these fig leaves, right? And he's like walking through a garden looking for them and he says, where are you? And they say, we're hiding. He goes, why are you hiding? They said, because we're naked. He said, who told you you were naked? You ate from that tree, didn't you? It's like your kids, right? You tell them not to do something, then you know right away when they do it, you're like, I know you did what I told you not to do because you wouldn't be in this situation if you didn't, right? I feel like God was that way that day. Like, who told you that you were naked? You ate from that tree, didn't you? Yes. I'm sure his heart broke. I'm sure he went, oh God, this changes everything. This changes everything. And here it goes. Verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are crushed more than all cattle and more than every beast in the field. On your belly you shall go, which tells me he had hands. He had legs. Ooh, that's crazy. Then people go into, well, was he a dragon? Because, anyways, all that side stuff. It's really not, you know. Okay. And then onto his belly you go. You shall eat the dust in all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, war is what enmity means. Listen to this. Between you and the woman. He's seeking whom he may devour. That is his assignment, to take us out. And let me tell you why. Because we're the ones that birth in life. And God redeemed that enmity when he gave Mary this Jesus in her womb. He redeemed back that, and Jesus himself crushed Satan, right? Yes. This is, so see the full circle here, girls? Do you see the full circle? And it says, and I will put enmity between you and woman and between your seed and her seed. Your seed is your womb, what comes out of us, girls. He shall bruise your head and he shall bruise his heel. Verse 16, and to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow. What? And your conception. Listen, labor is no fun. I know we have an epidural now, but try doing it without it. It is no fun, right? In pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband. Doesn't say for your wife if you're a woman, right? See, I'm sorry. I'm not a hater or nothing. I love people, but I don't love the sin because I see the sin is against what God says. So I can never say it's okay. I'm sorry. It's just not how it's going to be. It's just, I'm going to stand up here and say that to you. It doesn't mean I don't love the person though, and I can't pray for God to have revealed to their heart and help them get past those feelings that they feel. Because a lot of them, when you talk to them, they don't want to be that way. They don't want to desire their own. They don't want to be homosexual. Did you know that? They fight this internal within because I think humanity does know that we were created a certain way. Right? But the enemy is blurring that. So right here, he says, you will have a desire for your husband. All right? And then it says, and he shall rule over you. So no longer are we comparable. Remember? We were comparable with Adam before the fall. Now we come under our husband's mission and we have to submit to the head of the house. Now listen, ladies, I'm not saying you submit to my husband, no. You submit, well, as your pastor, you submit as a pastor. He's your covering, your spiritual covering. But if he, Pastor Dan was to tell you, you go do this, and you say, well, I ain't your wife. Seriously. You submit to your own husband. Does that make sense? But God reset the order at this point. We lost our position, okay? In verse 17, then to Adam, he says, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and you have eaten from the tree, which he was in disobedience. He was not deceived. He was in disobedience. And mom was saying to me today this morning, she goes, do you think that like Adam was standing on the side, like waiting to see if she was going to fall out when she ate the fruit? Like, okay, if she goes down, I'm not eating it. Like, I wonder what that moment was like, right? I'm just throwing this stuff out there because how fun is it to think about these things? Like, what was he doing, you know? Gosh, if it goes down, I'm going to eat it. Anyway, that's not biblical. That's just something Pastor Jess and Deborah were talking about. And my dad rolled his eyes behind her. Okay. And so he says, because you have done this, you have eaten from the tree, I command you, saying that you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it in the day and all the days of your life. Both thorn and thistle it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, from the dust that you are, and the dust you shall return. Stop for a second. Adam lived in the garden, had pleasure. He didn't have to do anything, right? He just got to frolic and play and eat and enjoy himself and be naked. That sounds like a happy man, right? It does, doesn't it? But then, now he has to go work really hard. And he has to sweat, and he has to toil, and he has to dig up that foul ground, and he has to work way more than he originally had to work, right? So God is saying, you will work hard. You will work hard. When men aren't working hard, I wonder what God thinks of that. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Verse 21, also Adam and his wife and the Lord made tunics, and the Lord God made tunics of skin, and he clothed them. Remember, they were sewed up funny leaves, right? Like, I really do wonder what those looked like. And probably very sexy. And God says, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to cover you up. I'm going to take care of you still, because he's still a father. It makes me think about the time when my dad and I were just fighting constantly. I mean, we just never could see eye to eye on anything. And Robin, you'll remember this day. I got kicked out of my house that day. Robin was the runaway driver. I jumped in her car and I'm like, go, 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 as he's chasing the car. Poor Robin. And Pastor Jim's running out of the house. Get out of here, like, seriously. Intense moment in the Cobray house. Our neighbors were literally outside watching it. Okay. But I remember that day when my dad said, enough's enough. You're not playing by your own rules in my house. If you live in this house, you serve God. You don't treat me like that. I'm the authority in this house. You can move out. And I got kicked out. But you know what my dad did? He sat down with me and made a plan with me. He didn't just kick me out and leave me out by myself. He sat me down and said, you're not allowed back. But I'm going to make sure you're going to be safe. And I'm going to make sure you're going to go. So my poor sister, who had a great roommate and loved her life, had to get ripped out of her house and come live with me in an apartment. Which, if you knew me and Kim, we really didn't get along that well back then, huh, Kim? And we learned to love each other in that. And we got an apartment, and I had to learn how to pay my own bills. It was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. I had to grow up. And I still had a relationship with my dad because he communicated with us. How are you girls doing? What do you need? I would call him and be like, Kim never turns the air on and it's like 100 and something degrees. Can you seriously tell her she's being cheap? And like, he would intervene. So he was still a part of our world, but he had to kick me out, and I was no longer allowed to live in the comfort of my family home, where I didn't have to pay for my own food or my own phone bills or my own TV bill, where I got to say, Mom, I need a new pair of clothes. All right, honey, let's go shopping. Yeah, that all stopped. And see, that's kind of like what I envisioned when this happened. God going, you don't get to live in the Garden of Eden anymore. So God kicked them out of the garden. I wonder if that broke his heart. And then he knew that the garden was so pleasurable that they would try and come back, because hello, who wouldn't? So he puts an angel in front of it with a swaying sword so no one can get in. See, we separated ourselves. Our identity was allowed to be stolen by Eve because she was deceived. But yet God still covered them in their sin and took care of them in their future. And he's still today taking care of us and covering us in our walk with him. He's still today ever present in our time of need. He's still today on call and ready to hear and receive what his children are asking of him. He's still the rescuer and the restorer. He's still the one who came and gave everything, all of him. He sent Jesus, and then he left the Holy Spirit to sit and to dwell and to live within us. I mean, wow, what a dad, what a God. So even though we can screw things up, because we are good screw-ups, can I get an amen? I am the biggest good screw-up in the world, right? Even though we have feelings that we don't understand, let's talk about feelings for a second. Our feelings cannot be what we allow to rule and reign us, girls. Because when we give into what we feel, I believe we step outside of His will. Because God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's way of thinking doesn't come out with the outcome for us. You know, we think our future, we think maybe years down the road. God thinks eternity. He thinks our children's 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 children. God thinks generationally. Isn't that amazing? You see, He knows more. He knows all. He sees all. This is bigger than you and I. And so, girls, from this last part that God clothed them and then He had to send them out, what I got from this is stay in Jesus, our true identity. Point number three, stay in Him. You will always be tempted to get outside of Him, to walk away from Him. Let's say the podium is Jesus. You know, I'm just going to go hang out with my friends. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just kind of irritated with my life right now. I'm going to go have a few drinks. The drinks aren't the sin, but where does that end up leading you? Maybe you have too much and you don't know where you woke up the next day and you're going, oh, how did this happen? This is not like me. I'm not going to have a raise of hands of how many people that has happened to. No, don't raise your hand, sweetheart. Because see, we never intend for these things to happen. Do you notice that Christian girls are always the ones that get pregnant outside of marriage? You know why? Because they never thought that they would have sex before marriage. So they never are like on birth control or take action for it. And so they end up pregnant. I was one of them. See, the deceiver will come and he will rob us. And he will take our innocence. Adam and Eve were in the garden in innocence of God. And yet the deceiver came and brought the destruction and she gave in. Let's stay in Christ. Let's be in Him, because that was Old Testament. New Testament is Jesus came back for us and He restored back through Mary in the womb. He came a spotless lamb. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead on the third day and He left the Holy Spirit to live and dwell with us. You see, the redemption has already happened. We get to live in the victory of all of this. But if we don't understand where we came from originally, we're more likely to think like the world and to look like the world than we are the one who actually created us and like we are the one who we should think like. God wants us to be like Him. So girls, be confident in being a woman of the Most High God. Be confident in being a wife. It's a beautiful thing. If you get the pleasure of being a wife, enjoy it. Fulfill the role and do it well. Before God, because I know it's a God assignment. Some of you go, well, I wish I was a wife, but I ain't no good men around. Well, you know what? Then you let Jesus be your husband right now. Yes. And every nurturing part of you and everything that you would do for a husband, you do it for Jesus. Okay? Now listen, if you are young in this room, I've been hearing this a lot from the younger generation. I ain't having kids. I don't know if that's your right. God tells us to be fruitful and multiply. There's another religion that is growing rapidly because the center of their religion is called the womb, Islam and Muslim. The more babies they can have and bring in and teach them the way of Islam, the more they'll overtake the world. That's their plan. Christians, what are we doing? We have the truth. We are the best moms in the whole world, right? We have Jesus living within us. So why can I not put into children what God has put into me, and I can raise a beautiful home and a family so that there are walking little Jesuses all over this world ready to carry out His name and make His Do you see how important your role is? I know this message is completely opposite of what the world is saying. Do you still love me? Because I'll be honest, I'm not afraid of your faces. I'm more afraid of him when I get to heaven. And him go, why didn't you tell them who they were? Why didn't you back me up in my creation story? You see, listen, girls, what we do and who we are is humongous. And so let's find the pleasure in the little things. You might say, I'm not a mom and I wish I could have babies. I can't have babies. I don't know why that is. But I do know that I just prayed for a young lady who was barren. And she came to our tea party and she sat at our table and we prayed over her. And she is pregnant. She sings up here on our platform. She is now pregnant. She's never been able to have children. You see, I know God can open a womb. Pastor Joanna, can I tell your story real quick? She wasn't able to have children. She adopted 3 babies, right? And then she has 2 of her own. Why? I don't know, right? But God's still God, because those 3 babies needed a mama. They needed a mama that would teach them about Jesus. Dr. Vanessa, you have 3 of your own, and then you just adopted 2 more. They needed a mama. They needed someone. You're sitting in this room going, I don't have children. Listen, there's a lot of babies out there that need to know that God loves them. It seriously breaks my heart. I just heard of a story in our own school. A broken little boy, not knowing how loved he was. You see, girls, you carry Jesus. So our role as wife, our role as mom, our role as single. Listen, single is amazing. And you might say, yeah, that's easy for you to say. Listen, your world is gonna change a whole lot when everybody gets in it. So enjoy it while you have it. Pastor Teresa, one of our pastors here on this staff, she's been single for forever. I mean, she's never been married. And she says to me, I've had to find my joys and my pleasures in who he is. He is my husband. He's my all in all. I give every living, waking moment to what it is he has me on assignment for. And she finds pleasure in all the things that maybe she doesn't get to partake in, but I believe one day she's going to partake. And I know God has a plan. We don't understand his timing. We don't understand his ways, because girls, we see but through a veil right now. And when we get to heaven, I believe he's going to pull back that veil and we're going to go, oh, wow, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. But right now, let's just love him, trust him, be confident in being a woman. Enjoy the roles that he's given us. Can we take back what the world has tried to take from us? That it's not cool to be a wife, that it's not cool to be feminine, that it's, I mean, they did this march and this walk and they had vaginas on their heads. What kind of sick and twisted world are we living in? It's disgusting. And honestly, it's offensive as a woman. And when are we going to stand up and say enough's enough? That is ridiculous. Where's the Christian women? Where are you, girls? Where's your voice? You have a voice. Did you know that? We need to stand up for righteousness, ladies, in our homes. We need to stop giving in to what the world wants, because it comforts us and it's what we like. I can get on my soapbox, because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Be careful what you allow in. What music are you listening to? What shows are you allowing your children to watch? What words are you allowing to come out of your mouth because they're funny? But maybe they're not funny. What is it you talk about when you think your family is not listening? What is it that you've allowed to enter your home? You are the guardian. You have dominion. Remember that? You reign. Take it back, girls. Take it back. Take back your home. Stand up. Rise up for what God asks you to be. Be the woman that God has called us to be, feminine and beautiful and full of God's grace and his mercy. And let's stand strong and say, I don't care what shape my body is, and I don't care how I look, because he made me and he loves me, all of me or none of me. He loves it all. You see, don't let the enemy lie to you. God has something greater for us. God loves your children that are lost in this world. He loves them. And mama, the biggest thing you could do for your babies is pray. You get your sword out and you get your shield up and you say, oh, hell no, you're not going to take my babies and you're not going to deceive them, devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You bind his plan over them and you begin to call them back into the kingdom of God. And every day you don't see it, you get back in faith and you get back in faith. And that's the third point. Stay in Jesus. You might get tired and weary in your fight, but you've already won this fight. The victory's already yours. So take it back, girls. Take it back. Be who you've been called to be, because that's who we are. That's your true identity. That's who we created us to be. We were originally the helpmate of Adam. That means I'm God's helpmate. That means he needs me. That means nobody else can be Pastor Jess. Only I can be Pastor Jess. Nobody can be Pastor Michelle. She's only the one that can do it. Nobody else can be Lori Gamp. Lori, you're the only Lori Gamp there is, and you do it so well, baby girl. You see what I'm saying, Dr. Vanessa, Reverend, Doctor, whatever your name says. Like, you are amazing, and you're the most nurturing person I know. Selfless to the ends of the earth. Nobody can be Dr. Vanessa. But you know what you all can do? You can inspire someone to be like you, because you reflect him and you resemble him. So when your kids see you love beyond the sin, when your kids see you love past the frustration, when your kids see you hold back restraint when you want to smack them, right? Because girls, that is very true. They will learn, you know what? I can keep my cool. I'm mad, but I can keep my cool. You know what? Even though that person wronged me, I can show love because my mom showed me love when I was wrong. You see, it's the little things we do that reflect us outside of our home. Let's be beautiful mirrors and pictures of Jesus like we talked about last week. If you got something from God, let's give him a hand.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.